Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Welcome to Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek. Marge was searching for the purpose of her life and the truth that would tie everything together to make sense of what was taught and what was happening on our planet, the fire that was creating all the smoke. Through many experiences, she was finally led to the knowledge book that provided all the answers. Marge is now talking about this gift to humanity on Knowledge Book Radio, so all can be united in peace, love, and harmony. This live call-in show at 1-800-930-2819 is amazing. So get ready to hear about the Knowledge Book. Here's your host, Marge Potasek.
Hello, everyone. I'm Marge Potasek, and you are listening to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek on Transformation Talk Radio. For the next hour, we will continue to cover some topics from the Knowledge Book. And this week, we are going to talk about the human being versus the genuine human. The reason for this is that we've received questions about the genuine human being, and maybe, perhaps, delving into this topic from a slightly different viewpoint could shed some light on what some perceive to be a difficult path to becoming a genuine human. So we've received some questions about genuine human, human being. How do we get there? How difficult it is? So perhaps maybe from this viewpoint, we'll shed a little bit light on the entire topic. If not, then please do call us. Or email us or text us, 973-787-7035. That's my cell phone number. You can text. And my email address is mmjp99@gmail.com. And that's marymaryjohnpeter99@gmail.com. Okay, so we'll start with a different viewpoint on the human being and the genuine human. So when we are in contact with the knowledge book or are reading it ourselves, one often hears the words genuine human. And the first time I heard that phrase, I wondered what that was and how it can be achieved. When one thinks about a human being, that being is primarily considered a body that is able to perform complex physical and mental functions, sometimes at superhuman levels, whether for good or ill. When analyzing the physical structure and composition, science has identified various independent and autonomous systems that are, at the same time, very dependent and intertwined, like the respiratory system, the circulatory system, the nervous system, the endocrine system, the musculoskeletal system, etc. The respiratory system has the responsibility for getting oxygen from the environment and converts this gas into a form the cells can use. This is accomplished by having the blood flow over the lung membranes so the blood can take up the oxygen and transport it to the entire body. The respiratory system could be seen as the most crucial of all the body systems, since cells die rapidly when they cannot be supplied with the oxygen they need. On the other hand, the lungs also remove the spent oxygen fuel, carbon dioxide, into the air. This is also accomplished by the blood cells that pass over the lung membranes, thereby releasing the gas into the environment. Here, again, the respiratory system is crucial to remove the carbon dioxide as its buildup is toxic to the body. Where the respiratory system takes in oxygen and releases the carbon dioxide waste product, the digestive excretory system handles the food input and serves as the intake, processing, and providing useful nutrients for the body. This system processes the food that serves as cellular fuel, resulting in carbohydrates, proteins, and fats that are sources of cell energy, as well as amino acids, essential fatty acids, vitamins, and minerals that the body itself cannot manufacture in order for cells to stay alive. In this system, more work is necessary in processing the food. It needs to be broken down by chewing, then with acids in the stomach, helped by the liver fluids that further break down the food and detoxify some substances. The food is then squeezed through the intestines, where each section has an individual function of taking up a particular segment of the now molecular food and giving it to the bloodstream for delivery to the rest of the body. And, just like the respiratory system, any excess food and waste is removed from the bloodstream or is stored by the liver, the solid waste products are excreted from the body. The renal system, urinary system, is responsible for the body's health by removing dangerous waste products from our blood and expelling them in the form of urine. Here, the input into this system is the blood that gets passed through the kidneys, where special filters collect the dangerous substances from the bloodstream while allowing all the beneficial substances to stay in the blood. The kidneys themselves pass the waste liquid into the bladder, from which they are ultimately expelled. The endocrine system is responsible for sending messages from specific tissues that produce specific molecules called hormones that are then interpreted by the receptors that are uniquely formed to read them and cause certain actions by other body systems. This is the system that allows the body to respond to external or internal changes like 1. Flight or fight. In this case, the input is a dangerous situation, and the output is adrenaline, which then becomes the input to the other systems. The adrenaline produced triggers the heart to pump faster, the lungs to breathe more deeply to obtain more oxygen, and the nervous system is on alert and responds more quickly to sharpen perception and memory formation. Our first response to danger is to hold still, assess the situation, and then decide whether we will face the danger or flee from it. 2. The endocrine system is also involved with reproduction. It sends out messages to the testes and the uterus, as well as other organs, to prepare for pregnancy. It is this process that regulates the monthly reproductive cycle in the female through a long list of chemicals that adjust the other organs throughout the monthly cycle. The reproductive hormones being created are a constant cycle of phases of hormone production, where the input of one phase is the output of the previous phase in a repeating cycle. 3. And a subsystem of the endocrine system governs our need for additional cell fuel and nutrients. Once the stomach is empty, it releases a chemical messenger that tells the brain and other organs to start looking for food. Once the stomach senses that it is full, then another messenger is sent to stop eating. In this case, the input-output is the opposite of the other systems, since the input is the lack of food in the stomach that triggers the response, while the presence of food in the stomach triggers a food intake stop eating switch to be sent to the brain. The musculoskeletal system actually allows us to maintain a certain shape, protects vital soft tissue, and allows us to move from place to place when the brain sends signals to the muscles based on our intent. This may be seen as one of the simpler systems of the human body. However, it is critical in supplying the fuel for its activity as well as protecting the body from injury. The integumentary system, exocrine system, like our muscles and bones, may seem very simple, but it is critical in its function of keeping all our internal environment in while keeping the external environment out. This is the function that the skin, the largest organ of our body, performs. It is the skin that keeps bacteria and viruses out. It is the skin that regulates our temperature in response to the external environment, releasing sweat to cool our bodies or forming goosebumps so that the body hair can trap the warm air next to our skin. It is the skin that grows the hair on our heads to help keep our brains from getting either too hot or too cold. Although scientists have been able to produce an artificial heart and an artificial, though external to the body, kidney, they have not been able to reproduce the skin. Although it seems simple, it is surprisingly complex, being maintained by the circulatory system and the glands that lubricate it and keep it from drying and cracking. The lymphatic system, immune system, allows the body to fight off infection and disease. Apparently, our bodies, composed of carbohydrates, proteins, and lipids, is seen as a very desirable food source for microscopic pathogens that easily fit inside us and want to use us to perpetuate their lives. The job of eliminating any of the pathogens that pose a danger to the body is done by the white blood cells that are born in our bone marrow and stored in our blood and lymphatic systems. The lymphatic system is also a circulatory system, but it is outside of the blood circulatory system. It carries water, white blood cells, and other substances, and moves much more slowly than blood. This allows the white cells to have a greater chance of spotting and scavenging pathogens. When we are sick, we often have swollen, enlarged lymph nodes. These are nodes where the white blood cells are actually attacking and scavenging pathogens. This is another example of an automatic pilot being in control and keeping us healthy. Anyone with a compromised immune system can get deathly ill or die just by being in our normal, everyday environment. The reproductive system, although it is not vital to individual survival, is very essential so that the species survives. It enables the human to produce offspring that guarantees the survival of the species. This is accomplished by two very different systems, the male and the female reproductive systems. The male constantly produces sperm and looks for mates, while the female system is geared to support the offspring through pregnancy, childbirth, and care of the baby. It is the female system that is periodically ready to support a pregnancy should fertilization take place and restart the process of pregnancy preparation and support should no fertilization occur. Some of the hormones needed for the reproduction are produced by the ovaries themselves. These send signals to mature an egg for future fertilization and prepare the uterine lining to support an embryo. These hormones also affect the woman's body temperature, blood flow, appetite, and attraction to the opposite sex. Since the nutrient content of the uterine lining is shed, the woman's body will direct her to the foods that are needed to replenish the nutrients necessary. In some cases, women actually eat clay or chalk in order to accomplish this. As stated in the descriptions above, it is the cardiovascular circulatory system that is crucial in the distribution of the nutrient supply to the body and taking up waste to be eliminated from the body. Unbelievable as it may seem, it takes about a minute for the entire blood volume to circulate once throughout the body. This system is a very high-speed expressway that distributes oxygen, nutrients, messages, and wastes. How is such a blood flow accomplished? The credit is given to the heart's pumping mechanism that is helped by the arteries that have muscles of their own to help the blood along, at whatever distance from the heart. The heart's responsibility is split in two, an intake and an outflow. The arteries deliver oxygenated blood to the body under very high pressure. Any damage to the arteries is life-threatening, since the entire body blood volume can very quickly drain out of the body. The veins that return the carbon dioxide-laden blood to the heart to be delivered to the lungs function more slowly and under lower pressure. When the oxygen-carbon dioxide exchange occurs in the lungs, the delivery of the oxygen and nutrients from the blood and pickup of waste products into the blood occurs in very tiny blood vessels called capillaries. These pass the blood very close to every cell and ensure the efficient delivery of the needed substances. When you scrape an elbow or a knee, or when a cut is sustained, what bleeds are these tiny, often microscopic, blood vessels. Oxygen and nutrients are not the only products that are delivered to the tissues. The blood also transports chemical messengers known as hormones, like adrenaline produced by the adrenal glands, to the entire body. And the blood picks up the waste products and delivers them to the organs that can process and or eliminate them. For example, taking carbon dioxide to the lungs, toxins to the liver and kidneys to be destroyed or excreted. The nervous system is the filter through which we know both the external and internal environment through tissues that receive stimuli like light, sound, smell, touch, temperature, etc., that are then interpreted by the brain. The internal environment is also perceived through pain, illness, discomfort, and wellness. The organ that coordinates and commands is the brain. It is usually depicted as a central processing unit that takes in various stimuli coming in through the nerve fibers and interprets them into unified experiences, stores them as memories, produces emotional responses, stores knowledge, and thinks. Once it has received, organized, and interpreted the signals coming in, it sends signals to the various organ systems to perform the necessary functions. To summarize, the brain is the control center that receives data, analyzes it, and then commands the body to respond through very highly specialized cells called neurons that transmit electrochemical signals very quickly. The brain uses about 25% of the food we eat to support the activity of the brain and the firing of nerve fibers that in turn allows us to perceive, feel, think, and respond. Each of the above organ systems has completely different cell types, completely different functions, and operates on different input-output signals. A brain cell does not look like a muscle cell, does not look like a skin cell, does not look like a bone cell, does not look like a blood cell, does not look like a heart cell, does not look like a stomach cell, does not look like an intestine cell, etc., etc., etc. Each cell has a form that exactly fits the function it performs. Each mass of cells forms tissues and organs that have very specific reception areas that signal that organ to start functioning and issue specific signals that halt certain processes until their function is needed again. Each of these cells, tissues, organelles, organs, organ systems work autonomously but interdependently. Unless all the cells receive fuel like oxygen and nutrients, the cells die. So they are completely dependent on blood cells in the circulatory system. No nutrition can be circulated by the bloodstream unless the stomach, liver, intestines perform their functions, and they in turn cannot function unless they are fed by the blood. All the body systems work in a similar fashion. What orchestrates all this? What keeps everything in order? All the automatic systems functioning automatically. To emphasize what was stated above, it is the brain. The brain is the command center of the human nervous system. It is located in the head, close to the sensory organs such as vision. The brain is the most complex organ system in the body. The cerebral cortex in the human contains approximately 80 billion neurons, each several thousand other neurons that communicate with each other through long protoplasmic fibers called axons. The axons transmit multitudes of signal pulses called action potentials to distant parts of the brain or the body and target specific recipient cells. The brain receives input coming into the sense organs and also sends output to the muscles to allow movement. Like the other body organ systems, the brain is similar to the animal species. However, all the systems, and especially the brain, is much more developed and much larger in size in the human. The brain functions as the central control center of the entire body organ systems. It acts on the rest of the body by generating patterns of muscle activity and by driving the secretion of hormones. This allows the body to have quick and coordinated responses to any changes in the environment. Some of the basic conditioned responses are reflexes that can be activated by the spinal cord or peripheral ganglia. But it is only the brain that can formulate and orchestrate behavior based on complex sensory input data. Although the basic operations of individual brain cells are now understood in considerable detail, but their formation, organization, cooperation, interplay between millions of ensembles is still a mystery. Recently, modern science has started to view the brain as a biological computer that functions very differently than the everyday electronic computer. However, the brain and the electronic computer are similar, since each acquires data from the environment, stores it, and processes it in various ways. Following are some facts about the human brain. It's the largest brain in all the vertebrates when compared to body size. It weighs about 3.3 pounds, or 1.5 kilograms. It's about 2% of the total body weight of the human. The cerebrum is about 85% of the weight of the brain. The cerebrum has about 86 billion nerve cells called neurons that comprise the gray matter. It contains billions of nerve cells called axons and dendrites that comprise the white matter. These are connected by trillions of connections known as synapses. The largest part of the human brain is the cerebrum that is divided into two hemispheres. Underneath the cerebrum is the brain stem, consisting of the midbrain, the pons, and the medulla oblongata. Behind the brain stem is the cerebellum. The outermost layer of the cerebrum is the cerebral cortex that has four lobes: the frontal lobe, the parietal lobe, the temporal lobe, and the occipital lobe. The cerebrum, brainstem, cerebellum, and spinal cord are covered by three membranes called meninges that have specific layers and are filled with cerebral spinal fluid. The living brain is a very soft tissue and has a gel-like consistency. The brain develops from three sections known as the forebrain, the midbrain, and hindbrain that each contain fluid-filled cavities called ventricles. The forebrain develops into the cerebrum and its structures. The midbrain becomes part of the brainstem, and the hindbrain becomes regions of the brainstem and the cerebellum. The cerebral cortex is very enlarged in human brains and is considered as the place where complex thought takes place. The visual processing takes place in the occipital region near the back of the brain. Most of the activity of the brain and the activity of the body is not under our conscious control. Everything functions as a vast multitude of feedback loops under the brain's control. For example, we do not consciously control our breathing or heart pumping action or the releasing of hormones or releasing of digestive juices or hair growth or food absorption. These processes are on automatic pilot. Scientists have been able to study the brain to map certain input areas, map certain parts of the brain that fire when we think, when we listen to music, when we remember, when we write, when we read. But we have not been able to truly understand how the brain functions and how all these brain cells are organized and interconnected. Science still sees the human as a natural, physical form and does not yet know how consciousness and thought arises. However, although the current human form is very complex in structure and function, it is not the finished product. It is still the process in the process of evolving, of increasing its knowledge and energy levels. The human of today is still an in-between form of what it was designed to actually be. Our goal is to become a genuine human that will function at a much higher level of consciousness, knowledge, and energy layers level. And where science currently has no explanation, the knowledge book gives the explanations of how the human came to be, how the brain is organized, and the process by which the human becomes a genuine human. So, what is this genuine human? What does it look like? What are their characteristics? How does the human become a genuine human? A genuine human is 1. One who has gone through the world evolution plan, salvation plan, by incorporating within themselves all the omega energies from 1 to 9. 2. One that has gone from zero frequency, third dimension, 12th energy dimension, to the 7th dimension, 76th energy dimension, and thereby receive permission to enter the 8th or spiritual dimension. 3. One who has integrated with the totality of their spiritual energies and can now go into the 9th or lordly dimension. 4. One whose evolutionary level is equal to their spiritual level. 5. One who is not able to do or to think evil even if they want to. 6. One that has love and respect for a blade of grass and even for a particle of sand. 7. One that asks for forgiveness from the ground that they walk on. 8. One that has gone from the micro to the macro, from a tiny bit of energy undergoing evolution to a macro energy by attaining the dimension of truth. 9. One that has the following humane attributes. This is a being that is totally positive, has totally positive thoughts. Negativity does not exist in that person's thoughts. They keep their own personalities in the background. Others are more important, and service to others is more important. They have the responsibility of mission, and they perform their mission, and the mission always has priority. They are the ones who have tolerance, who are very far from ego. They love nature, take care of nature, love humanity, and they love everything as it is because it is. They persevere. No matter how hard something may seem to be, it doesn't stop them. Instead of a block, they view the situation as an adventure, a challenge, and as something that allows them to grow more powerful by using their intellect to resolve that situation. They are far from having a consciousness of discrimination. Everyone is treated equally, and everyone is given everything equally. They understand that we are all the same. We're all brothers and sisters. They possess a spirit of unification, so that they'll never be the ones to divide a totality or to split people apart, to put a wedge in between friends or put a wedge between families or countries. They have gotten to the point of having a cosmic consciousness. When we observe the state of the world, reaching the status of a genuine human seems a very far-fetched science fiction. However, there is a path designed, and on the condition that it is followed, it inevitably leads to success and a genuine human status. However, have you ever wondered how this actually happens in a human? We are born, we develop, we go to school, get a job, etc., 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 we die. Is this something we have any control over? We do have a free will. We have the power to make decisions for ourselves. Even the divine authorities cannot force us to do anything. So how does this all happen? These are some of the questions I had when going through the knowledge book. And I had been reading the knowledge book for a while when I noticed something peculiar in one of the fascicles, chapters, that started with a heading called The Genuine Human. The section is 3.25 pages long. The strange part is that the only time the words genuine human appear in over 3 pages is in the heading and in the last sentence of the section. In between these two endpoints, there is a description of the brain and the components of the brain as a series of interconnected and intertwined components. To me, it looked like the description of a blueprint or some kind of computer circuit board. And it also reminded me of the words of a song. The hip bone is connected to the thigh bone, and the thigh bone is connected to the shin bone, and the shin bone is connected to the ankle bone, and so on. It also reminded me of a cell phone or a computer that has a specific hardware structure and components, and a software that directs that hardware to perform the tasks needed. Both the cell phone and computers have intertwined, autonomous, and interdependent circuits that perform certain functions. As long as we activate certain circuits, we can do math, can access the internet, can search the internet, can view movies, can make local and international calls, can set alarms, can purchase and install other applications that are not included in our vendor plans. The list goes on and on. Each of them uses some kind of combination of the hardwired circuitry in the phone computer and the software, the operating system, to accomplish these tasks. And the structure of the brain, the organization of the brain into separate systems and circuits, also reminded me of the way the human body is organized and functions. Just like we have the organ systems described above, the brain also has brain systems and circuits that take input and trigger some kind of output that then triggers another circuit to be activated. The explanation made is that Just as the brain is the central control system of the body, the intellect is the center that administers all the functions of the brain, the control tower, the expediter, the central system. This intellect connects to logic. The logic is connected to awareness, and later cognizance comes into effect. If all these systems and subsystems do not connect, then the center cannot function either. Now, every system, just like our bodies, organ systems, every circuit has subsystems connected to itself. And these systems and connecting fibers are adjusted depending on the kind of functionality is to be accomplished. Consider the digestive system. Its subcomponents, subsystems, subcircuits, each with its own particular set of tissues and cells, are the mouth, the teeth, the tongue, the throat, the alimentary canal, the stomach, the small intestine, the large intestine, and the colon. And each one of these is also a self-contained system, circuit, component, that has its own particular set of functions to accomplish certain tasks within the overall digestive system. However, the connections between the system circuits of our brain is done through thought, and before thought comes into effect, the cerebral function, the control mechanism, cannot function. In other words, if these connections cannot be made, then that particular set of modules cannot be activated, and therefore the intellect cannot perform its function, and therefore the brain cannot function either, and we cannot progress. Another way to state this is that the cerebral function gets activated, and the connections are made when the mechanism of thought comes into effect. Then consciousness, cognizance, logic enter the scene, and now thought has attained its form. Thought is scattered until we attain the capacity to hold in the awareness of the ordinance. Although science can map the places where the brain cells fire when we do certain tasks, it is the knowledge book that explains how the brain subsystems, circuits connect and operate and can inform us that our brain has innate capacity to trigger, to connect, and to operate a sequential set of brain operating modules that allows us to automatically progress on the path leading to genuine humanhood. The knowledge book also informs us that the brain has the innate ability to perceive frequencies and translates those frequencies into letters and numbers. And we are able to interpret these frequencies as ideas and can either write them down or speak them or play them on a musical instrument. Since we do not realize what is actually happening, that we are actually being given the idea from an outside source, we come to the conclusion that we came up with a great idea for a song or a play or a new invention ourselves. Once the intellect component is activated, it connects to logic component and it comes into effect. In turn, this opens the channel of doubt and we dive into quest mode, and throughout life we go through the loop of logic, awareness, cognizance, doubt, quest, discovery. These systems are not single and work within and with other systems as well. Logic is connected to the world potential. Awareness is connected to the spiritual plan. Cognizance is connected to the lordly mechanism. Doubt is connected to the automatism. It works cooperatively with quest and the automatic logic of the plan or mechanism of influences, the energy and frequency currents showering us. Discovery is connected to intelligence and connects to this creative power, or to the artistic dimension. This is the most mature form of the brain. We have been discussing the hardwired circuitry of the brain being explained using terms with which we are familiar, but being used in an unfamiliar way. The basic premise, however, stands out. We have the structure, the physical constitution of the brain, that is perfectly set up for us to undergo a developmental function that takes us from the state of being a baby that is born at the level tantamount to its previous incarnation's end, and takes that human through a series of steps due to outside influences to become a genuine human. What are these outside influences? These are the religious enlightenments, sacred books, religious fulfillment, universal awareness, and then universal consciousness once we act in the direction of cognizance, logic, awareness. Just to give you an idea, there are 7 steps of awareness. There are 7 steps of consciousness. There are 7 steps of the intellect. And all of it leads us from the third dimension to infinite awareness. Each step builds on the step before it and before that, and we go up the evolution ladder just by living our life and following the path designed, therefore, the knowledge book studies. Every body system, as described above, has its own feedback loop, has its own very specifically shaped and functioning cells that are the autonomous and automatic, that we do not control it at all. We walk fast, heart rate goes up, respiration is faster, metabolism goes up to deliver energy, etc. However, they all work cooperatively, collaboratively together. The brain is the same. It has its own autonomous systems and circuits, which we don't even need to know about or understand. All we need to do is to follow our plan of destiny for ourselves, to walk on the path designed, thereby allowing everything that happens to us to lead us up the evolutionary ladder and attain the status of a genuine human. Although this is still confusing and unclear to me, however, one thing is perfectly clear. We are beautifully prepared on a hardwired, physical, intrinsic level to become a genuine human. And with the previous sacred books, the current knowledge book studies, and the World Evolution Program, we are perfectly poised to undergo the outside influences that trigger our internal circuitry to connect and to connect until our capacity of taking in currents and translating them perfectly into ideas, speech, writing, etc., increases to the point that what comes in exactly equals what comes out. We become perfect conduits of energies and frequencies that we are attracting and are then reflecting them to our medium. Success is inevitable when we choose the path that is the easiest, the safest, and the quickest, the studies of the knowledge book. And now it looks like it is time for us to take a short break. You've been listening to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik. And please remember that our website is www.usa.theknowledgebook.net. Telephone number for questions and topics is 973-787-7035. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Integrate spirituality into your everyday lives on Universe Soul Heart Radio. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Kathleen Johnson explores the concept of sensible spirituality, keeping you grounded, connected, and centered on the path to wholeness. Kathleen has dedicated her life to facilitating holistic healing and wholeness in others. Listen to Universe Soul Heart Radio and learn how to flourish, grow, and impact all we do on planet Earth. For more information, go to universesoulheart.net.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Amber Teal, founder of The Healthy Edge, is bringing you the hit show Healthy Edge Radio, living with power, passion, and purpose. Amber provides the support and tools necessary for you to finally release the weight and emotions that are hidden beneath the weight. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information on how you can take the next step with Amber, visit GetTheHealthyEdge.com.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
And we're back on the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek on Transformation Talk Radio. Today, we've been talking about the human being versus the genuine human and comparing what the regular human being as seen by science as an interconnected set of systems, hardwired and softwired, that allows us to function in the world dimension, that allows us to not only grow, not only to develop, not only to learn and see and progress on the worldly path, meaning graduating from being a baby that is constantly being taken care of, that is the center of its world, and that is actually the ruler of the household, because it is such a human form at that point that is completely dependent on outside help, physical help, for it to be able to continue to exist and to gradually grow into a more and more independent creature, going through phases, 1 through 7, then adolescence, then early adulthood, maturity, old age, and eventually death. And throughout that entire time, it is that physical body of ours that is constantly being maintained by the systems that are inside it, that are governed by the brain as the control mechanism for the physical system, which functions in the world dimension, in the world realm. It functions in the physical area. However, that brain and all those systems, they are not just geared for us to be able to maintain our life. It is not only geared to successively be born and then eventually go through life and die, no matter how many millions we may amass, or no matter what it is that we've done throughout our life. That system, that body system, is basically the vehicle that allows us to actually evolve. And that allows us, depending on the evolution progress that we make, to have a stronger and stronger physical body that is able to resonate at higher and higher energies, that is able to access and connect with higher and higher frequencies through the innate circuitry of our brain, through the hardwired, the softwired systems of the interconnecting systems of the brain that not only function on the physical level, but also function on the spiritual level. And that allows us to be creative creatures, to be able to not only function within the physical realm of walking, talking, cooking, reading, playing a musical instrument, but allows us to be a creative power. Even though science may tell us where certain portions of the brain fire, certain portions of the brain become active when we do certain things, but science cannot tell us what our brains are connected to at the time we're able to create. So far, they've been able to identify the fact that as long as we are relaxed, then we are able to connect with a creative power of ours that enables us to actually create something, to have a new idea, to create a new invention, to look at things in a different way. And what the knowledge book tells us is that we have this innate circuitry. We have this innate hardwired systems that connect one to the other to the other. And as long as our brain circuitry, our brain systems are physically sound and connect in the right order and connect in the right synchronicity, then we are able to connect with higher and higher dimensions. So one of the things that we've gone over in the previous section was the fact that we initially are connected to logic. It is the intellect that connects to logic. And the intellect gets activated by outside influences, by the influences of the family, by what that child is exposed to, both visually and experientially. And that logic is connected to the world potential, to the world level. However, one of the things that are skipped in the description of awareness, consciousness, and intellect in the knowledge book is where this intellect is connected to. Yes, initially, it is connected to the world dimension, and we're able to take in the world frequencies on the world level. However, as we are evolving, as we are going through the outside influences of the religious dimension, of going through the studies of the knowledge book, through the council program, through the flower program, through the reflection focal point, through the totalities of 18, that logic connects to higher and higher frequencies, and eventually we are able to access infinite awareness and infinite potentials and infinite energies and frequencies, because our brain is able to function at higher and higher frequencies and is able to then take in and connect with higher and higher frequencies. So although we start logic at the world potential, eventually it goes through and our brain circuitry gets open and open and connects and connects, where the seven facets that are that compose our brain, that comprise our brain, and the seven facets are intellect, intelligence, awareness, thought, idea, logic, and conscience. As these facets become aware of each other through the evolution plan that we have prepared for ourselves, as we connect and connect intellect to intelligence, to awareness, to thought, to idea, to logic, and conscience, then we are able to open up to the infinite awareness, at which point we have all the answers we need when we need them. If we have a problem that needs a solution, if we have something in place that we don't know how to figure out, then we can go out there through our frequency of thought and actually get that answer. So we have this innate potential. Humanity, humans have this innate potential to be able to reach dimensions through thought. And we've been able to accomplish this because that is the way we're hardwired. That's the way we're put together. There is no possibility of not succeeding in being able to get to infinite awareness unless we ourselves, meaning if we get stuck on ego, if we get stuck on negativity, if we get stuck on something that is not towards the common good, that is not service for the other, then we are sabotaging ourselves and short-circuiting ourselves, in which case we will not be able to succeed, not because we've not been created to succeed. It's because we've stopped the process that allows us to succeed. And for us to be able to access those infinite dimensions, for us to be able to access those infinite energies and frequencies that are out there, we need to be able to make sure that our thoughts are positive thoughts. We need to make sure, and the system and the powers that be are making sure, that we can only produce positive thoughts and be able to be of service to others and not be a detriment to others. So with that, if you have any questions about this or any other topic that you've been reading in the knowledge book, or maybe just a topic that you're confused about, please text those to 973-787-7035. Again, 973-787-7035. Or you could also email at mmjp99@gmail.com, marymaryjohnpeter@gmail.com. Our website, of course, is www.usa.theknowledgebook.net. If you're in New York City, please stop by, give us a call, and we'd be more than happy to see you at our Saturday focal points. And you've been now listening to the Knowledge Book Radio with March Patazic, and this is March Patazic. And as Mrs. Chirac often says, humanity's verdict is in humanity's hands, and as the Knowledge Book states, you are the ones who will save the world. Thank you, and see you next week.
You've been listening to Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Patasek. Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity, and its time of transition to the Golden Age that provided the truth and energies and frequencies. Now, she shares information from and answers questions about the Knowledge Book with you each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit Marge at usa.theknowledgebook.net.